Carlo. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining me. Now, can you tell me a little bit about what this ray of hope is, these specific resilient reefs that we're seeing?
Yes. So in this study, we looked at the scope of recovery of corals after major disturbances like the bleaching events that can kill large areas of the coral. And we found that some reefs on the Great Barrier Reef are strongly connected to other reefs, which means that by virtue of ocean currents, they can supply larvae to other reefs that might have been damaged. They also have they're also located in cooler waters, so they should potentially have a lower risk of bleaching, and they also have less of a risk of being affected by the crown of thorns starfish, which is a coral eating predator. So this is the first study that really looked at recovery potential at the scale of the entire system. We tend to look at what's happening on the individual reefs. But when we look at the whole reef, we found these reefs that might help other reefs recover. And that's basically a ray of hope, because that suggests that the Great Barrier Reef has a natural system of recovery that we can then support through local management and global management as well.
Mm. Can you tell me what is it about these specific reefs that does make them resistant to things like coral bleaching effects and starfish predation?
Well, first of all, they're located in cooler waters, or at least they have been up to now, because it's difficult to predict whether this is actually going to continue in the future if the climate change effects get worse, as everybody predicts that they are. But for now, they're located in cooler waters. That means that they have lower thermal stress and therefore are less likely to bleach when the bleaching event actually does happen. And for the crown of thorns starfish, so the adults eat coral and they can actually strip the entire reef of coral, but then they spawn and their larvae travel to other reefs and cause new outbreaks there. And these reefs are less likely to receive starfish larvae, which means that they have less of a risk to be exposed to have crown of thorns starfish outbreaks, and also less likely to then spread these larvae to other reefs.
Right, so sort of like a super reef of sorts, it sounds like. Now, I want to ask about regeneration potential of these types of coral and how much it's affected by human activity.
We can talk about individual reefs or we can talk about the system. So what these reefs actually show us that there are some reefs that can actually help many other reefs recover. To what extent, that is going to depend on the state of the reefs where the larvae actually arrive, whether the larvae can then successfully settle there. But the fact that these reefs actually do exist gives us some hope and some focus that these natural recovery processes can actually happen on the Great Barrier Reef. And human activity is, of course, continues to be the major threat to the Great Barrier Reef, which means that even though these reefs exist, we need to support these natural recovery processes by reducing carbon emissions, which can affect a slew of basically threats to the coral. And also gives us some focus on local management, for example, improving water quality for the reefs and active management of crown of thorns starfish outbreak population.
If you're just tuning into The Daily this morning, we're speaking with Dr. Carlo Hock, researcher at the University of Queensland, about a few key reefs that could potentially be the key to saving the Great Barrier Reef. Now, Carlo, you mentioned climate change policy and reducing emissions in there just before. How important is climate change policy and environmental action in ensuring that these resistant coral reefs can thrive?
Oh, it's absolutely essential. So we were very happy to find that these reefs exist right now, but there are no guarantees that they are going to continue to exist as the climate change effects continue to get worse. So what we have right now is some focus on these reefs, but also it only underpins that we need to do more to actually prevent or to mitigate the threats to these reefs so that the reef can actually continue to recover as it has always done.
So it's not an immediate fail-safe save all. It's serving as more of a reminder to keep vigilant with the with the work that we're doing.
It gives us some hope that the reef can continue to recover, and it gives us some focus. So we have particular reefs where we can actually focus our attention. But of course, these reefs are not going to be there in a couple of decades unless we reduce carbon emissions and similar things.
What other actions can the general public take to try and assist in combating climate change and particularly environmental pollution effects on the Great Barrier Reef specifically?
Yes. Well, general public can take interest in reducing the greenhouse emissions, support government policies that promote the environment, and do little things like reduce the use of plastics, which often ends up in the ocean and causes lots of pollution, and also participate in the citizen scientist initiatives, like the Citizens of the Great Barrier Reef. So,
So there are some pretty clear steps that you can take to get on board with trying to do your bit to help the Great Barrier Reef, especially now that we do have this ray of hope. Now's a better time than ever. Carlo, thanks so much for joining me to explain a little bit about this this recent unveiling, this discovery, and how it all works.
Thank you very much.